And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time now for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Tonight is the second of a two-part show focusing on our visit to the monks of Newskeet in early March. Now, these are the monks who raised German shepherds, and they're known throughout the world. And as we pick up the action today, Kyle and I are in Vermont, getting ever closer to the monastery. And we hear... So, let's see, we stay on this road, Route 67. It might turn into 22.
Okay.
It might. 5-0 would be cool. You did not just wave at a cop, did you? Dude, never wave at cops. Never wave at cops, man. That's a bad idea.
30, it's 50.
It doesn't matter. If you're doing 20, you don't wave at a cop.
I give him a peace sign. What?
Oh, wow. That's really going to go over well.
I just a little... Dude. I see it. I know what's up. I got this.
Yeah. Oh, look, a train. Is that a train?
Yeah.
How about that train?
Can you slow down?
Well, no. The train's still going to go by the same speed. Hey. I waved at a train.
Guilford
Rail System. And what was that first one? HLCX or something? Wow. Nah, I make it a rule not to wave at cops. Just a thing of mine.
They tell you in grade school you can wave at a cop. Don't wave back.
If I was in grade school, it would be different, but I'm no longer in grade school, and they don't react the same way.
Mm-hmm. That was a good lunch.
It was good.
It was really cool. It was like a Vermont kind of pub.
I felt like I got adopted. Into their family.
Right.
Because everybody who came into that place knew each other.
Right.
And they were dropping docs like crazy. I mean, I know when that kid's birthday is.
You do?
Yes, tomorrow.
Oh, right.
And his name, and his parents' name, his brother's name, the people who run the place, other people that weren't in the place that would be in the place later, and things that happened to them in the last snowstorm. All you have to do is sit there and like either record it or write it down, and you have everybody's info. They're probably giving out social security numbers in that place. But that's
bet if you asked, you probably could have gotten a social security
number. Oh, I'm sure I could have. Yeah, yeah. What's that funny number that you write down sometimes for ID purposes? Or let them see your driver's license. Say, oh, wow, it looks just like mine, except a different name and different state and all that.
Uh-huh.
No, it's, I mean, people are trusting. That's a good thing. People like us, you know, we're the problem. We're always thinking, you know, how to...
Okay, well, we're leaving Vermont now, so...
Oh, well, New York, my state, the Empire State building. Speed limit's 55, you know, you're doing 25.
I'd be happy to know the police station has a swing set.
You want to lean out the window and wave at them, too?
Not necessarily. All right, we're back in New York.
I feel better. Wait, why is it still Route 67? Now, oh, wow. So Vermont 67 turns into New York 67.
Sure.
I've only seen that happen once before, where New York 17 turns into New Jersey 17. But usually you only get the same number if it's a federal road. Wow. Okay. Learning a lot about road numbers.
I'm really enjoying this, though. There's such beauty. There's an old iron, rusty iron train trestle. Oh, it's just magnificent.
It's sure to collapse at any moment.
Well, I honestly looked back in the back seat and I nearly ran into a car in the opposite lane and the side of the train trestle, but other than that, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really is beautiful.
And the thing about traveling this way, I mean, we're decidedly not using interstates.
Correct.
Is that you see so much more.
Right.
And a lot less cars.
Yeah, we were remarking last night how there weren't any humans. You said that.
Well, it was dark as hell.
It was really dark. I was really enjoying looking at everybody's little nightlights, seeing, you know, who's up, who's not, what kind of, you know, do they light up their garage, or is everybody gone? Is it seasonal, that kind of thing?
But, you know, where I am, I consider myself not in the city,
uh-huh.
Not near a city, but I can always go to a supermarket or a 7-Eleven or something like that at any hour,
right.
And I just feel like the world is still there, but... Out in these parts, and by these parts, I mean not just Vermont, but all of upstate New York, like north of New York City, it seems.
Yeah.
It's just like nothing is open. Nobody is around.
Right.
And, wow, it's kind of, I guess it's good because, like, nighttime should be nighttime. It should be dark. Should be quiet.
Right.
But then nighttime really shouldn't be dark or quiet because life goes on all the time and people are up at all hours, or they should be. And, you know, if you have insomnia, man, it's going to feel so lonely. Nothing around. But then I remember the days when TV stations used to sign off the air and you get a little test pattern or an Indian chief for some reason.
Countdown and all that.
Yeah, whatever that was all about. But it was just like, okay, you know, you sort of felt like certain things happen at certain hours and other times it's quiet time. And there's some comfort in that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I want it all, I guess. I want it like 24 hours and... the old ways.
Probably a homey, more homey 24-hour scene, you know? You know who's going to stay up and
you
know, go watch a movie or something. I don't know.
It just felt like nobody at all was up last night.
Well, I mean, it's out in the country. Maybe people get lulled into that, and it's just really about going with the light, you know? You're
but we literally did not see a human being. I mean, I'm not counting cars. Cars are cars, but they could have been driven by wolves, for all we know. But human beings, actual humanoid shape, we did not see since we left Manhattan.
Yeah.
And until we arrived in Vermont, in the place we were staying.
Right.
And then it was really the guy who checked us into the hotel.
Yeah.
A single person walking in the street. It was pretty amazing. And, you know, we went off the Taconic State Parkway, so we didn't even see any rest stops. Like on the thruway.
No.
And that's by choice, because that's just, it's different, and it's no trucks and no tolls. And
a lot of hassle, a lot of hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
It was nice. We were very alone out on that roadway there.
Felt that way.
Yeah.
Is it 55?
Yeah. I think so. 50s around the curves.
Well, that was weird. You see that? It was like a house with just like... a full creche, like, laid out in the front porch. Like, you know, Christ and the manger and all that. It's just like, it's nowhere near Christmas, but they just have all year round. Here is Christ and here is the manger.
Get it in your head, people. We do not mince words.
Nah.
Oh, look, a drive-thru. Look at that.
Oh, wow. They still have this up here.
Go digital? Help us go digital. Buy our field speakers season pass.
Huh. Last movie theater I can... Last drive-in movie theater I can think of was in New York. It was like over 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I never went to one. Ever. We could go to one.
I'm perfectly willing to go to one. There was one neighborhood I grew up in, but it was mostly a swap meet. It never really showed movies when I was alive. They might have, when I was really young, but it ended up just being a swap meet. So you excited? You ready for this, you think?
No, I'm not ready, but I am excited.
You're excited?
I don't know what to expect.
Oh.
I mean, okay, we're going to go into this place. Are we going to see a German Shepherd first, or are we going to see a monk first? You know, which is going to be the first sight we see? Or maybe we won't see anything.
I'm betting monks with German Shepherds is what we're going to see.
Like, running towards us?
I'm not sure.
Is that some kind of, like, card we have to show to, like, not be torn to pieces?
I think what you're going to find is the dogs are very friendly and well-socialized, and there's not even a breath of excitability. Like, they're not going to jump on you.
I'm not worried about the dogs. I'm worried about the monks. Are they going to be friendly?
And, oh, yeah. You know? That I don't know.
All right. I'm sure we'll all be best friends after this is all over.
Well, I'm imagining they've had lunch and everything, so they're probably not that hungry, you know.
The monks or the dogs?
The monks.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's see, what do? We stay? Okay, so we continue on to 22 North. Oh, it's kind of hard to tell. These maps aren't very good. Continue on to New York State 67 West. Then continue on to New York 22 North. But we're on both at the same time. So I'm not sure when one is not considered the other anymore. We're supposed to turn right onto Gilbert Street, but, you know, not knowing when Gilbert Street's going to show up.
There was a sign back there that said Cambridge 8 miles. So
okay, that's what's good. Okay.
That's what I'm following.
Because Google Maps does not tell you wait till you enter Cambridge or whatever.
Well, we're in Washington County now.
All right. Doesn't say anything about that either. Town of White Creek. I'll just look for every street going past and see if anything's called Gilbert Street. You know, Cambridge is a really, really small town. In fact, if you talk to people in New York and you say you're going to Cambridge, they assume you're either going to England or to Cambridge, Massachusetts.
That was amazing.
Now, that's standard. Cambridge is so tiny, but
I had no idea. I thought people would know.
The monks of Newskeet are not in Cambridge. They're on the outskirts, like away from Cambridge, away from the small town. So there, where they are, is really in the middle of nowhere.
About 8 miles away or 5 miles away, something like that.
Yeah.
The nuns are a little closer to Cambridge.
All right, and you know what? Every time we talk about the monks or we read a website or something, they always talk about the nuns. Like, nuns don't come with monks, right? It's not always like a package deal, right?
There
can be monks and no nuns. But here there are monks and nuns, but they're in different places.
Right.
But they're of the same ilk? I mean,
they're the Nuns of Newskeet.
The Nuns of Newskeet. That's their official name.
I don't think they have a website that's independent, though. The Monks of Newskeet are renowned for the shepherd training, but as far as semantics, I don't know. I would ask. I would ask if they're affiliated in some official way, or if it's... I think it is. It's traditional that women who are devout will have their own area, and the monks have a monastery. What do you call a nun? A place where nuns hang out.
Oh, wait, I know this one. Hold on.
Come on.
Wait,
this
I heard
is
this.
Terrible.
I heard this in a bar. Place where the nuns hang out is a convent. Wait, that's not even funny. But that's not funny. What's.
No, you're right. It's a convent.
Yeah, but where's the humor in that? Oh, I thought it was a joke.
It's no joke, man. It's very serious business.
All right, I'll try not to laugh.
Yeah, don't.
Do they raise animals, the nuns?
No, actually, I believe the nuns at Newskeet have a bakery.
Isn't that kind of, like, sexist?
Well, I mean, I think they're involved with the
stereotypes,
animals.
You know?
They're probably involved with the animals, but it's at the monastery where I believe the kennels are. But I don't know. I've never been. I do know that the monks are renowned for their dog training.
Well-renowned, not just renowned.
Well-renowned, yes. And so we're going to be heading in. It's like afternoon time, so I don't know. We'll probably be sitting down to dinner with them eventually. And we just had a bit of a late lunch.
Yeah, so hopefully we won't be sitting down to dinner too soon because we just had lunch.
We'll probably be making acquaintance, finding our accommodations. They may have an evening mass and then dinner after that.
I'll go to all the masses. I have no trouble with any religious stuff at all. I'll even wake up at the crack of dawn to, like...
That's definitely going to be...
Feed the dogs, whatever they do.
Yeah, I'm thinking at least one or two days we should try to get up early and get a little bit of what the lifestyle's like, because I'm sure there's activity early to take care of the animals. Although, there's certain areas that are private and off-limits, from what I read on the website. So we're going to have to sort of suss out, negotiate, and speak with them about sort of what they're comfortable with and what kinds of things they want to capture. I sent a little advance notice about us wanting to photograph a little bit, and ask them to think of things they want to share and record about their community. So... yeah, we'll see what's available to us. I don't expect to have full rain. There's going to be areas that are sensitive. And understand, these dogs only know certain people. We're strangers. Not that it's a dangerous thing, but we really got to break the ice and make our presence known and build some relationships, not only with the monks, but with the dogs.
Absolutely. Especially the puppies.
Yeah, puppies, they know what's up. I think as soon as, if there are any puppies, they'll get wind of us and let all of
them. If there are any puppies, I was just under the impression there will be puppies.
There might be puppies.
I want puppies, damn it.
It is a full kennel, working kennel.
Did you see that sign for snowmobile crossing?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of those. I saw some last night.
Interesting. Well, you know, I think we're in Cambridge now.
Things are slowing down a bit.
Things are slowing down, so I'm going to look for Gilbert Street. Do you think we'll get cloaks? You know, like they get the monks?
No.
Can I maybe buy one in a souvenir shop?
They do have a gift shop, and I plan on getting, a couple, maybe a sweatshirt or something.
Well, I'd like to have a monk cloak, because they look comfortable, and I think I'd do it justice.
Well, they might have, some openings.
No, I don't want to be a monk.
Before you become a monk, you have to visit a couple times.
No, I don't want to be. I just want to have the cloak.
Oh, okay.
They're a village of Cambridge, home of the 1992 and something New York State football champions.
Yes.
Good for them.
Of course.
There's enough people here to play football, at least.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, we're in Cambridge. Better slow down a bit.
Yeah, slow down a tad. There's the Blue Willow Motel. Weren't we almost going to stay here, but they were too religious?
Oh, yeah.
That was the one, or was it the other one?
I think that was it.
Okay.
Cambridge Central School.
What does that mean? There's no other school. It's not Cambridge Eastern School. It's only the Central School. I never could figure that out. Oh, that's Gilbert Street. You should have turned there, but I didn't know it until we passed it. So now you need to turn around.
Well,
or make a right.
I think if we can find a block, we'll just turn right at our earliest convenience here. Let's see.
Well, you could try turning at that light there and then making another turn, hoping
we'll see what we can
that
do
Gilbert
that.
Street is still there.
I'll keep my eyes peeled here.
Life, what a beautiful choice. I just saw that sign.
Choose life.
Why do you think people are so religious in these areas?
I don't know. I think maybe prayer is something to pass time, maybe something to... beats me. I don't know.
Boredom. That's
That's
a good motivator for religion.
Maybe boredom. I can see being bored. Do I get a free ride here?
By that you mean ride on red, yes. You can do that anywhere.
Okay.
Free ride. Is that a Seattle term?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, I like it. It's clever.
Free ride, it's your right to turn right. So then I'll do a left on Gilbert Street.
Well, first you got to do a right to get to Gilbert Street, but I don't think that is Gilbert Street, but over there, looks like it's going back down, though. We'll see.
Yeah, but I think we have to continue on. I mean, how many miles on Gilbert Street?
On Gilbert Street, only half a mile.
Oh.
And then you make the third right onto East Main Street.
Yikes.
Well, maybe this is East Main Street.
We might even be on East Main. Right? Go up into the hills.
They don't believe in street signs here.
They're not verbose.
I really think you should make a right.
All right, I'm going to go right just to backtrack a little here.
Maple. Aren't they clever with the names? You know what? We are on East Main Street. Somehow that was East Main Street.
Yeah, that was East Main.
Then how is this Maple?
All right, I'm turning on Furnace.
All right, at least that's a clever name.
Don't tell anyone I did this.
All right. It's just weird that this is called Maple now. And it was never called Maple there. All right, take the third right onto East Main Street. Just do that.
Hey, I see a sign for Newski.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
Weird. I kept getting up and
I had a nightmare.
I had a nightmare too. Okay, I'm glad to hear you say that because I had some weird ass. Oh, I probably shouldn't say that in the monastery. But I had some weird ass dreams. And I don't want to get into the details right now, but they're unlike dreams I usually have. And I'm kind of expecting peaceful dreams, and these were sort of a little disturbing. But that's not the monastery. That's me. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was feeling a little bit strange, too.
My heart was kind of racing at some points, and
yeah,
felt a little distressed. I was thinking of where I am in life, and I guess that's what you're supposed to do, is think about where you are in life, but I didn't really feel like doing that, you know? It's kind of distressing.
Yeah. I felt good after I woke up, though, and then I went back to bed.
I feel refreshed, I'll say that. It's 6 in the morning, and I didn't think I'd wake up at 6 in the morning by myself, but I did.
Why are we whispering?
Yeah, that's the thing. We whisper no matter where we are in this place, even if there's nobody else around. It's just kind of like what you do.
There's a lot of birds outside, too.
Are there?
It's really nice. This is very peaceful.
Wait, I just woke up, but you've apparently been outside already.
Yes, I was outside.
How long have you been outside for?
Well, I thought the bells were going to ring at 6 o'clock.
That'll be Brother Gregory coming with the coffee. Well, wow, that sounds ominous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. All right, we better stop. Let's go see what the coffee's all about. Maybe we can record then.
Let us pray to the Lord. O Holy Master, we who have been marked with the sign of your cross, glorify your incarnation. For we know that you are both mortal and immortal, God and man, the only Son of the Father. Even if you suffered in the flesh to accomplish your plan to save us, you are still inseparably one of the Holy Trinity. Therefore, O Savior, strengthen us in our faith, and in your mercy watch over your people and save them, that we may all adore your resurrection. O you who dispense life, light, and understanding to all, for you are indeed our God, and we give you glory together with your eternal Father and your all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit.
did anybody tell you about the history of, you know, how we got puppies and all that kind of stuff?
I've just heard vague history about that.
Well, it's from my understanding, you had, they had German Shepherds. I think they were given dogs. I'm not quite sure how, but anyway, they had puppies and they sold the puppies and that's how it all began.
So it was accidental, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. We're going in there. And, you know, we work closely with Cornell University. They have a very good vet department, vet school. Now, when we go in, guys, we're going to dip our feet.
Okay.
Just, you know, touch the bottom. And if you're going to handle puppies, I'm going to ask you to just rub your hands on some solution.
Okay. Absolutely.
So just do this. If you don't want to handle puppies, that's fine. Then. Okay. So just take that and just rub your hands together.
As a precaution.
Yeah, just try to make sure that we're not passing on any kind of germs or viruses to the puppies. Because mm-hmm. some of the puppies haven't had all their shots. Yeah. They get their shots at certain times, you know, while they're here.
Right.
So, so we just try to make sure. Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Just, you know, okay. So this is Cassie, and she's very friendly, and she'll probably jump around. So she's gonna.
She's protected.
Gonna,
yeah.
So here we go. She's got 8 puppies.
Okay.
Hey, girl.
Hey, Cassie. Oh, good girl. Hey, Cassie. How you doing?
Hi, Cassie. She's very friendly, very sweet.
Hey, Cassie.
Come on, Cassie. Come on, come on. Cassie.
Cassie.
Hey, Cassie.
Okay.
That's okay. Okay. Fine. What are you guys?
Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
Cassie. Get up.
Those are some cute puppies.
So their eyes are a little blue when they're just little pups. Starting to get their tan, different colors in.
Look at those guys.
Yep, they just puppy pile. We do the kiddie pool is great. Sure. Yeah. It's really cool.
I'm going to let her in very shortly, so just be prepared.
Okay. They're all always black when they're born.
Get ready.
Right?
Watch your equipment.
Hey there.
Just make sure. Hey, leave her in here. Yeah, okay. That's okay. Just let her go. She'll be fine. Just watch your equipment. Mm-hmm.
But they're black when they're born.
Black and tan. I mean, you can already begin to tell that they're beginning to show, you know, their colors. But they stay here. They're probably, you know, maybe they're a month old now. Four males, 4 females.
It's an argument of some sort.
Oh, yeah. They're doing a lot of, I'm a, you're not. Right. They stay here for 8 weeks. By New York state law, that's what we have to do. So they don't leave until they're 8 weeks. And we're just about getting ready to put them on, you know, baby food.
Yep. Getting their paws in the formula.
Oh, yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. Do me a favor. Just close the
curtain.
Yeah, and close the gate. Oh, yeah, that's okay. When she comes again, she'll come in.
Okay.
She'll come in again. And when she comes in, just close the gate.
Looks like every time she goes by, she's counting to make sure they're all there.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's good.
Yeah. Is there anything about any of the particular puppies? Like, is there one puppy that's special in any way?
haven't really, noticed any, I haven't noticed anything, any particular characteristics that stand out. What we watch at this point, because they're so young, the important thing is that they're gaining weight. So that's really the important thing. We weigh them every week, and we make sure that they're gaining. That's the big thing. And yeah. We know them by the rick rack. The thick rick rack are males, and the thin rick rack are females. And then they're colored. So we don't name these puppies. They're known as male red or female, pink or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and Kessie is a sweet doggy. Yes, she is. She's a good girl. She's a good girl. She's a good mommy. Yes, you are. You're a good mommy.
How old is she?
I don't know exactly. I don't know. She's not my dog. I'm not the one that takes care of her.
This is Brother Peter, right?
So, yes. Yeah. Yes. So they're really, she's really a very, very good mom. And she's very accepting of having people coming in.
Yeah.
So
she really is very friendly. And.
Yep, she is. She's very friendly.
So what's the next stage of development for these guys?
Well, we keep them for 8 weeks. So what we do is we start to introduce soft food and then eventually puppy food. And then, in let's say 2 weeks, they're eating regular, like puppy kibble and meat. And then we have the socializers who start working with them to, handling, grooming, eventually taking them outside, introducing them to grass and cement and stairs and being handled. The socializers really do a great job, and they keep progress notes on each particular puppy. Yes, you're a good girl. Yes, I know. You want to just jump up and do everything, don't you? Don't you? Yes.
Big obtrusive guy's coming in here. I know.
She's really very, 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 very accepting.
Beautiful coat.
Yeah, she's a nice. She's a sweet dog. Good girl. Oh, that's good. That's a good girl. Yes, I know. You're a good mommy. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're a sweetie pie.
Is this her first litter?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Is that music for the better part of them? It calms them down?
Well, some people say it helps. We try to have, classical music on.
Yeah.
And, supposedly it helps. At nighttime, we shut it off. Bye.
Bye, Mama.
I think it's only going to get louder from here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's puppy stuff here, and then... This is the other part of the
puppy. This is the puppy side, and this over here is the adult side.
Hey guys.
Quiet. What is that? Come on, go outside. She doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
Go outside. Out. Go on. Out.
Sniffing us at all?
Huh?
Was sniffing us at all?
I mean, her tail is wagging. I mean, I think she's friendly. Her tail is wagging.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Don't put your hands inside.
No. Nah.
Let her smell.
Seems happier.
Yeah, she's fine. Her tail is wagging. Her hackles aren't up, so she's fine. She just wants your attention.
Oh, she's got it. Yeah.
The other one, Vashti, her hackles were up. you know, she was scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, well,
that's
know.
A good job.
That's hair at the tail?
Kind of like at the back.
Yeah.
You know, like down here. Near. That sort of thing.
Right.
When you see it raised up, and the tail kind of goes up like that, almost like a scorpion.
Totally.
That can be a sign that, you know, I don't like you, I'm a little fearful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful facility, too. They've got everything they need.
Oh, so wait, do you see what I'm going to show you? So this is the breeding program. Down below is the adult dog training program, which is separate, and that's for any particular breed. So this is just for this building was built just for the breeding program.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, most kennels probably wouldn't have this.
I think you had warned us that because they're bitches in heat and that it's
the adult dog training program, also true, we try not to mix monks working in both programs because they can actually possibly, you know, transfer, you know, anything from one, if there's something going on down there health-wise, we don't want those monks up here. And it's the same thing. I don't go down to the kennel down below. You know, so we try to keep that kind of separation. We try to keep the...
So it's the same with the people that socialize the puppies. They're isolated, they're separate for similar reasons, and they're also specialized in doing socialization.
We try to keep the puppies section over there. We would never put puppies over here.
Oh, right.
So, all right, let's go on outside.
Okay.
Now, before I go in, I'm just going to tell you, because once we go in there, it's going to be very noisy. What we're going into now is just basically an exercise pen that the monks built, and it's the only purpose of it is just for the dogs to get exercise during the day. Usually around 9 o'clock or so, the monk brings his dogs over to the exercise pen, and they're there during the day, and then around 4 o'clock or so, the monk comes back over, gets them, and brings them back in the house for the night.
I see.
Summertime,
yeah,
and also wind chill in the wintertime. So in the summertime, the air comes up and then it comes over. So it helps to keep them cool. You're a handsome boy. Yes, you are.
Oh, this is good.
Glasses, don't you? Yes, you're a handsome boy.
Well, so attractive looking. Really.
The dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, German Shepherds, they're beautiful.
They really are.
They're beautiful dogs. Like I said before, sometimes we can have like 36 puppies, you know, here at one time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets very busy. So you can, you know, this is really a farm, but people don't see cows and, you know, sheep and all that, although the monks used to do that years ago, have cows and...
Okay.
Sheep and I think goats and all that sort of thing, but it's still a farm. It's just that the animals that we you know, we deal with are dogs, German Shepherds.
Absolutely. How many adults do you have here, would you estimate, or adults and grown puppies?
I would say probably, it can be anywhere from 12 to 16.
Sure.
We have a few dogs that are out in the community in homes.
Of course, yeah.
The nuns have a couple of dogs. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to give it an exact count.
Yeah.
So that's it, guys.
That's a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
Really impressive. Thanks for letting us check it out.
Yep.
I remember a lot more German Shepherds when I was a kid. Are there a lot still in the country, like owned by people?
I would say German Shepherds are a pretty popular breed.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think the Collie, I understand probably the Collie is a, what's the breed? Not the Collie. The German Shepherd is not the most popular now.
Uh-huh.
Golden Retriever.
Oh, the Retrievers, yes.
I think the Golden Retriever is probably the most popular breed. But the German Shepherd is up there.
Yeah.
When we were in Europe, we saw a lot of really big shepherds.
Yeah.
Like the kinds we saw there.
So the dogs that have, they have different training programs, or is they all have various stages in life where they're involved in the basic obedience and things like that?
Well,
or what's the general rundown as soon as they're sort of a year or two old?
Well, if we take it, there's two things. We could get an adult dog from Germany. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then every once in a while, we'll keep one of the puppies.
Okay, yeah.
For the breeding program.
Of course.
And then someone like Brother Luke or some of the other monks would take the puppy and train the puppy, that sort of thing.
But only if they're going to be living with him.
Right. Well, all of the dogs should be trained, to be, obedient, be able to live in the monastery like a house pet.
With basic stuff.
Yeah. So, it's a process.
Sure.
And, sometimes we use the e-collar.
Yep.
Some monks don't. Yep. But the dog is at night is in the monk's room,
yep.
The monk's cell, and I'm responsible for Raja. If when it comes time for her to have puppies, I'm in there helping to deliver the puppies.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Where is Raja?
Raja is over in the that kennel.
Okay.
The exercise pen.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's our issue.
Yeah. See, today we groom, so I wanted her to be groomed, so I left her over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I groomed her. And we're having a little separation, day to day.
Oh, no.
Which is good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. They look beautiful, and it's a really impressive facility.
Yeah, so. They are. They're great dogs. Great dogs. Well, guys, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
At 5 o'clock, we'll have services. If you're going to tape anything, tape the bells.
Absolutely.
Are the bells the same at 5 o'clock as at 7:15, or it seems like it was more at 7:15?
It depends, probably who's ringing them. And in the tradition is in the Orthodox Church, they ring a pattern instead of ringing a hymn. That sort of thing. So when the bells are rung, you might be hearing more of a pattern of bells ringing. Some monks are better ringing the bells than others, bells were all given to the monastery from different places, some parishes, some churches that closed, or another parish had an extra set of bells. So all of these bells were given to the monastery. I don't think we paid for anything for any of the bells.
How do you ring bells?
They're just basically on string, on ropes, and you just and if you, if you looked inside, you just pull them, like that.
Oh, so they're attached at the bottom, and
yes.
It's just simply like a cord.
Yeah, I mean you can open the door and you can look inside, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And some of them have foot pedals so that if there's one monk, he'll be hitting the pedal and ringing a bell, and then he's doing pulling cords, But the whole thing is a pattern of bells. Wow. And in a funeral, it is the highest pitch bell that we ring. Whereas normally think when you have a funeral or someone has died, it's the bass bell, the heavy, the biggest bell that is rung, you know, that gives a low tone. In the Orthodox Church, it's the highest pitch bell that is rung.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How long does it take to learn how to ring the bells?
You figure out a pattern and you just go with it.
Oh, really? Yeah. So they're sort of whatever pattern you...
It's whatever pattern that you want in your head to ring. I'm sure there might be, you know, some patterns that are well known, but I don't do that. Whenever I've had to ring the bells, I just pick out a pattern in my head and start ringing the bells. That's all.
That's amazing.
Can you recognize who's playing?
Yeah. Some people are better. Some monks are better than others. Yeah, you can. You can pretty much tell whether it's Brother Luke or someone else. Yeah, Brother Luke is pretty good at ringing the bells.
So those are the bells of New Skeet.
Yes.
As recorded by us.
Yeah.
We actually waited for the bells to start, and it was kind of cool. But what do you think of the dogs?
Dogs are cool. It's very familiar for me to hear a lot of those sounds.
Yeah. Of course, I should point this out. We're sorry for the distorted dog barking, but it was so loud in there, and it was just so hectic. There was no way to really look at levels and adjust them. So it was a little bit distorted, but that's what happens. It was distorted in our ears, too. They were that loud.
It's ongoing, too. It was very, very loud, and it's an ongoing experiment. We're definitely always looking at our production quality, and we promise in the future we'll have very, very good audio, and we're always building and trying to do our best.
But what do you think of New Skeet in general? It was, like, very different for me. I wasn't sure what to expect driving all the way up to upstate New York to visit a monastery where German shepherds are being raised. That's a lot of material that I'm unfamiliar with.
Well, I was impressed. Looking back, as I hear that, it was wintry, it was cold. And in my head, my idealized concept of who they were is much different than now I have an impression and actually a relationship, like something to reference. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it was all sort of my imagination of who they were and what was going on there. So I think going forward, I feel very cool about that. Like, that, wow, you know, we made some good friends and... we could go back. They want us to come back.
Because you fixed their AV system while you're out there, and apparently it's broken again, so they need you anyway to go back up there and fix it.
Yeah,
so it's a kind of good relationship to have with a bunch of monks in upstate New York to be able to go up there and fix their AV and visit some dogs and things like that. What more could you want?
Yeah, they sent us an email, so we've got good communication with them, and I'm sure we'll visit again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It was really cool. We didn't capture this on tape because it was mostly a personal type of a thing. We just...
sat around the dining room table talking to them about various things. We don't like to be intrusive when we record people.
And it's about building that relationship anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't want to go in, you know, and just wham, bam, and then see ya never again kind of thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, we brought you one monk, at least, and we talked to him for a bit, and that was Brother Gregory.
Yes.
Who was very courteous, very nice to us.
Helped coordinate everything.
Yeah. He runs the gift shop, in fact, too,
yes.
And we bought a lot of interesting things there.
Yes.
But it was an eye-opener, a life-changer for me, really, because I'd never been to a monastery before, and it's just it was so peaceful and calm and just really a place to get your head together. And
yeah, I liked being included in the concept of a retreat and having it go the way we want it, you know, our type of retreat. It wasn't like we were there with a bunch of other people, and you know, and I think a lot of that instructed how they perceived us, and different kind of, just the mood was very much influenced by who we are. And it was kind of a fun time to hang out with the guys up there, and like going on the hike, even that was really fun.
We got lost
in the winter.
Yes.
And just it was one of those experiences.
I don't think we mentioned that on this particular recording, that we actually went up the mountain on a hike.
They've got a pretty huge property there.
Yeah.
And
we're following trail markers, but the trail markers stopped after a while, and we were on top of this mountain. We didn't know where we were. And thank God for the sound of dogs barking, because that's what led us back to where they are. Otherwise, we would have been wandering around out there for quite a while. And it was fun, though. It was fun.
Yeah.
We went early in the morning so that if we did get lost, we'd have the whole day to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so interesting, and it's just a retreat. It's these interesting kind of people that have chosen this life and this path. And for me, just the context of being around dogs when I was growing up, it was just very familiar, and it felt
right.
Like I felt like I belonged, and that we were able to kind of have that time for ourselves and take away something from it, and kind of being a bit of an excitement for around the monastery for the weekend. And I think our understanding of Greek Orthodoxy,
yes,
has changed. We see that now in different places. And
so Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, yeah, I, you know, I'm not sure myself, but yeah, it's
yeah, I don't know, it's
all the kind
that.
With a cross. The cross has,
right,
a little diagonal thing on the bottom.
Yes.
And that's for Christ's feet.
Got it.
I looked that up on Wikipedia.
Oh, it's to hold him up.
Yeah. If he was actually on the cross, it's kind of morbid, actually, but if he was actually on the cross, he would need a place to put his feet to rest. I guess they just thought of
before they nail it in, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but the cross, that's how you recognize an Orthodox church, is that the cross has it also has an extra little notch on the top, too. Maybe that's for his head or something like that. So it's got two horizontal lines on the top and then a diagonal line towards the bottom.
Right. Right.
So that's the Orthodox cross.
So this is a very cool introduction to that that vocation and that faith.
And the prayers. Yeah, I've seen the prayers. That was really inspirational.
Yeah. And being able to participate and be a part of Mass. And essentially, I mean, your average person might think, well, wow, it was just like this big performance for us. But we were a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't maybe know the words, but we accepted the ritual and just sort of opened ourselves. And really, it's just a moment of quiet and reflecting on the world and having that moment with a bunch of other guys or other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really neat to participate in the Masses. And we were good. We were never really late. And
I was never late.
We were punctual. Yeah, I might have been late once.
You had to run down the hallway once when they were giving a prayer for a meal, which I didn't even know they were going to do.
Yes.
This sudden gathering said, Kyle, you better get a move on here. And they were launching into it.
That's right. I was late for one of the
and
prayers.
There's a bunch of little rituals that are after the meal. They say something to they give some kind of prayer after dinner. That one got me by surprise because it was like at the stroke. As soon as someone put down their fork, that was it. You know.
Yep. I thought it was based on whether you finish, but it was based on the time. I wasn't watching a clock or anything.
Yeah, so. We didn't know that. And then, of course, the prayer is at, I think, 7:15 in the morning.
Yes.
And then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Is that
Vespers and Matin.
Yeah.
Vespers is in the morning and Matins is at night.
And we were good at getting it right and knowing when things were and being there. And, you know, it's you just have to respect all that and learn from it. So, yeah, I'd do it again. I'd look forward to seeing them and also visiting other monasteries, too, comparing.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we see them often when we travel, and I think it'll be a much more familiar sight to us. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, this happened actually in March. It's kind of confusing because we're recording this now in July. We're about to leave for Europe throughout the month of the remainder of July and August, but you're listening to this in late August, and we're going to be back next week from the European trip that we have not yet left on when we recorded this.
That's interesting.
Is that all clear to everybody?
No, I think that's very easy to understand.
But what you just heard took place in March.
Yes. All right. And it was still very cold. It was just the beginnings of spring. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a very cool trip. So off we go to more stuff. And
you'll probably hear that next year sometime.
Yes.
It's just we can't be live and on tape at the same time. So you gotta pick which one you want. You want us in the studio? You want us to be playing recorded stuff?
There are occasions for all these things. Maybe we'll do a bit of both in the future.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Kyle, it's been fun. Looking forward to the next adventure.
Absolutely. On to it.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's smarter than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
This concludes our two-part feature on the Monks of Newskeet here on Off the Wall. And don't worry about our closing theme being a commercial. You won't find Kennel Ration on any shelves anymore. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. Until next week, when Kyle and I will be back live in the studios, this is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets Kennel Ration. My dog's